Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
From an undisclosed broadcasting location.
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system.
America. Here comes the relief from the pain. Unapologetically. This is Lock and Load with Bill Frady.
And hour number three, this is Lock and Load, and we're going to speak now with Dean Weingarten. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm doing very well, thank you.
Yes, sir. I saw this, and most of the time, and I say this simply because this is you wandering into the pseudoscience of people trying to interpret the Second Amendment in various ways. And, let's talk about this very silly argument you are putting together. So what it is
I read what the other side says. I don't think they read what we say very often. But I read what their arguments and what they put forward and how they try to justify themselves. And I've seen this argument put forward before. And it sounds a little bit, superficially reasonable until you look at it with any kind of depth. And the argument put forward is that the newly formed government, or the founders who created the new constitutional government, would never have created an amendment with the purpose of destroying the government they just created. And what they claim is the idea that the Second Amendment was put in there as a means of overthrowing a government. Well, that's just crazy, because no government, nobody who made a government, would ever put in a means of overthrowing the government. But that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
I'll read the exact words. This is from what I call the far left Eugene Weekly, Eugene, Oregon, weekly.com. That newly now they're claiming that the narrative about this was just recently created, which is another fiction, but that newly created narrative included the supposed purpose of arming citizens in order to enable them to rebel against the very constitutional government which the founders were establishing with its checks and balances. This, despite the founders having defined treason as taking up arms against that very government. And then they go on, they say, but this glaring contradiction persisted and found a home within the halls of the Supreme Court, whose collective wisdom may have suffered from the influx of unreported gifts by billionaires to a number of justices weighing in on the question.
Right.
So what they're claiming is that, well, nobody would put in a system to overthrow the government they're creating, but I think they're what's called projecting. They're projecting their the way they would act to come the way the founders would act. And I'm going to quote right from the article. It doesn't appear, the writer of this argument does not appear to have read the history of the Revolutionary War, the Federalist Papers, the arguments surrounding the Bill of Rights, the rudiments of the political theories the Constitution is based on, or the Constitution itself. Knowledge of any one of these fields proves ample refutation of the argument above.
Right.
And it's true, because they even talk about it in their argument. They say, well, this, that it was government of checks and balances. Well, why wouldn't you include another check? I mean, you already put in some. Why wouldn't you put in another one? I mean, that's just silly. But here, and I'll go through them in order as I presented them, because any one of them is an adequate refutation of this silly argument. And one of the principal causes of the Revolutionary War, I would say the proximate cause, was the attempt by the government of England, particularly the king, the crown, to disarm the colonists. I mean, what started the shooting war was very clearly the attempt by the army of the crown to attempt to confiscate weapons publicly and privately owned at Lexington and Concord. And that led to militias opposing the crown. And then we had this running battle all the way back to Boston, where the army of the king suffered a really pretty serious defeat. They lost a lot of people on the way back. And that was what really started off the shooting war with the colonists. I mean, all the militias formed up, the Minuteman showed up, and they defeated the crown in this battle, which basically the army said, now just fire a couple rounds at those silly colonists, they'll just run away. They don't have any backbone for a real fight. Well, this proved it, and it showed that the armies of the king were vulnerable and could be defeated. And that was a major part of the thinking of the people shortly after the Revolutionary War, when the Constitution was written. They had just come through this major military conflict where they had defeated one of the foremost military, perhaps the foremost military power on Earth at the time, and they had gotten into the conflict in large part because that power wanted to disarm them. So the idea that they would just form another government and not put any kind of a check in there to prevent them from being disarmed in the future seems kind of silly itself. And then, while the Constitution was in the ratification process, when there were arguments for and con by Federalists and Anti-Federalists, we had people who were talking about it, talking about the advantage of having an armed people because they could rise up against the government and throw it out if they became tyrannical in the future. And here's, Noah Webster in 1787. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops. And then you have James Madison, who not only was instrumental in writing the Constitution, but actually drafted the Bill of Rights as well. And he says, besides the advantage of being armed, which the Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, the existence of subordinate governments to which the people are attached and by which the militia officers are appointed forms a barrier against the enterprises of ambition, more insurmountable than any which a simple government of any form can admit of. I mean, and both those are talking about the ability of an armed people to throw out a government they don't like. So then the Bill of Rights was ratified in December of 1791. That's after the Constitution was ratified. And the reason...
Let me get you to hold, if you would be so kind. We've got the first break coming up. This article is at amaland.com, where Dean has nearly 2,200 plus... Well, he doesn't have nearly. He has over 2,200 other articles. All covering every aspect of the gun culture as it is today. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
Okay. Holster.com, the home of DeSantis quality-built American-made products for 45-plus years. Supporting police and government contracts from first responders to responsible citizens. Holster.com is your source for quality American-made leather and kydex holsters for the armed American. For concealed carry or open carry, Holster.com has what you need.
We didn't invent concealment.
We perfected it. Go to Holster.com now and buy a DeSantis holster today.
At MGS, we have what it takes to reinvent yourself. With a curriculum designed to balance work, family, and a gun repair education, MGS provides the gateway into one of the fastest-growing segments of the gun industry. Modern Gun School's mission is to provide high-quality distance education using time-tested materials and hands-on projects designed to develop a proficiency in both the technique and the business of gunsmithing. Go to mgs.edu. MGS Trade School. Your future is waiting.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insist on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Do you know someone with a drug or alcohol problem? Get help now. Insurance may cover everything. Stop the drug and alcohol nightmare. Call 800-284-0523. Learn how through the Family Medical Leave Act, you can leave your job without losing your job. Locations everywhere. Get immediate help for drug and alcohol problems. Call now. 800-284-0523. 800-284-0523.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load. And one thing I want to point out, this is the premiere, the first episode to ever be on the Odyssey app, which Dean is doing with me. This whole episode today will be on the Odyssey app as well as in the other places it is distributed as a podcast. So this is a first for you today, Dean.
Good.
I don't know why I was about to call you. I was about to call you lean. I don't know why I was about to do that.
Okay. It doesn't matter as long as we get the podcast.
As long as we get it put together, that's right. I had to interrupt you while you were in the middle of your oratory, so please, if you would, pick that up.
Well, we were talking about the silly argument that the founders would never have authorized an amendment which allowed the people, or had the purpose of allowing the people to overthrow the government that they were creating. And we mentioned that this is ridiculous, because they had just gone through a nasty war, one of the major causes of which was the government they were revolting against had tried to disarm them. So the idea that they would not put in any protection against being disarmed in the future is kind of silly. And then we talked about how during the debate of the ratification of the Constitution, that in the Federalist Papers, the people who were promoting the Constitution talked about how important it was for the body of people to be armed, because if the body of the people were armed, they could overthrow any government that became tyrannical. And one of the things that the anti-federalists, and these were the people who opposed the ratification of the Constitution, at least initially, and one of the things they demanded was that a Bill of Rights be added to the Constitution. The Bill of Rights was not part of the original Constitution. But as the debate went on in the colonies, as they looked at ratifying the Constitution, the people who were opposed said, well, we can go along if you guarantee that we will have a Bill of Rights included. And so the people pushing the Federalists said, yeah, okay, we will do that. Once we get the Constitution ratified, one of the first things we will do is include a Bill of Rights. And one of the things in the Bill of Rights to be included was a guarantee of the right of the people to keep and bear arms, the Second Amendment. And so it's kind of disingenuous to say that the people who formed the government also formed the Second Amendment, because that was forced on them by the people who demanded a Bill of Rights. And so after the Constitution was ratified, one of the very first things that was done is James Madison wrote up a Bill of Rights, and the Congress, they trimmed it down a little. I think there were originally 13 articles, and they trimmed it down to 10. And one of those was the Second Amendment. And they put it out for ratification by the people through the amendment process, which is not an easy process. You have to get three-quarters of the state. But the Bill of Rights was so popular, and it had been understood by the politicians and the people of the day, that that was the deal. Okay, we'll give you the Constitution, but we have to have a Bill of Rights. And it was overwhelmingly approved by both the states and the people, and was ratified in 1791. So to say, well, the people who wrote up the Constitution would never put in a Bill of Rights that would allow people to overthrow the government that the Constitution put in, is utterly insane, because it wasn't the same groups of people. And the people who demanded the Bill of Rights had been opposing the idea of centralized government, and they thought that the federal government had too much power. So it's different groups of people. I mean, the level of ignorance that you have to have of the Revolutionary War, of the Federalist Papers, of the origin of the Bill of Rights itself and its purposes, and of the changes that were made in order to ensure that the American Second Amendment did not have the deficiencies that existed in the English Bill of Rights, you have to ignore all of that. You have to ignore the whole idea of natural law and of natural rights, which was central to the drafting of the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And you just have to be ignorant, or you just lie, but I suspect in this case it's just ignorance. You have to be ignorant of all that to claim that the people who founded the American constitutional government would, of course, they never would have put in an amendment that would allow for the overthrow of that government. Well, it wasn't overthrow of that government specifically. It was the overthrow of any government in the future that became tyrannical. So I had seen this argument a number of times. So I thought this time, well, I need to explain why it is such a silly argument, because superficially it sounds a little bit plausible. Oh, why would they put in a means to overthrow the government they're forming? Well, because they didn't trust people. They understand that people get corrupted, that governments become corrupted, that governments are apt to consolidate power and money to themselves over time and become tyrannical. I think it is projection on the part of leftists today, whose motto seems to be, once you get power, never let it go. And they are projecting that onto the people who set up our system with its checks and balances and means for peaceful transfer of power by the election method, and are just believing that, well, if I was in power, I would never create a system that would allow somebody else to kick me out of power. I'd consolidate power. I'd make sure nobody ever could kick me out. That's what I think we're getting.
What do you think about this idea where they try to take today's thought process and impose it on what happened in the 18th century? What do you think about that?
Well, it's just another form of propaganda.
Right.
And the people who are doing this are almost always, they're either ignorant, which is a lot. They don't bother to try to see or understand what the people back in the 18th century
Hang on a second. Because I was so saturated and immersed into what you were saying and talking about, I have been watching the clock once again. So let's head into the break, and when we get back, I'll ask that question again, and you can answer that question if you want to. Dean Weingarten is the biggest writer at AmmoLand, which is the biggest website of its type on the planet. The biggest gun blog there is, and he is the most prolific writer with 2,200 plus articles there in their archive, which doesn't count, I think, the nearly 2,000 or 3,000 others that he's got somewhere else. Even he doesn't know. We'll be right back. This is Lock and Load.
I've seen just about every corner of this country, 3 million miles in my career. I spend a lot of hours on the road, but I love being my own boss. The road can be a beautiful place, but you're out here on your own. There certainly are risks. I'm Charles. I'm a truck driver, a husband, and the father. And that's why I choose Federal.
What's in a name? If that name is Ace Firearms, you've just entered a very expensive business. First, a fully appointed gun shop with all the guns, ammo, and accessories you could possibly imagine. But then you enter the manufacturing facility that is home to Red Alligator Concealment, Militia Arms Customs, and so much more. Ace Firearms is beyond a simple gun shop. This is a totally peerless operation. To find out more, go to acefirearms.com. Ace Firearms. This is only the beginning.
USA News Update. Secretary of State Antony Blinken and Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas are in Mexico to meet with President Lopez Obrador. The focal point of discussions will be the unprecedented migration and border security challenges. House Republicans are probing allegations that President Biden may have advised his son Hunter not to cooperate with their impeachment inquiry into the president. Representatives James Comer and Jim Jordan are requesting documents from the White House to find out whether the president told his son to disregard a congressional subpoena. The sale of the Dallas Mavericks has been officially approved by the NBA. Mark Cuban has transferred a controlling interest to casino mogul Miriam Adelson and her family. The move positions her as the third woman to hold the principal ownership of an NBA team. Miriam Adelson's late husband, Sheldon, developed the Venetian and the Palazzo in Las Vegas. John Schaefer, USA News.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
Welcome back. This is Lock and Load, talking to Dean Weingarten, and once again, I had to interrupt him right after I asked him a question. What do you think about the fact that some people try to take their thought process today, Dean? And I'm going to presume, who are these people that are saying this? Which people on the left are saying that there's no way that the founders ever set up a form of government where it could be overthrown? Who's saying this?
Well, the article that I was quoting is from, the Eugene Weekly out of Oregon. And I've seen this argument in other places where people are trying to argue against the Second Amendment protecting arms that are useful in a military context. I've seen it several other places, and I can't recall those specific places. But it's by people who want to claim that military-type weapons, or the idea that people would, an armed people would be able to prevent a tyrannical government from coming into power, or that they wouldn't be able to overthrow a tyrannical government, put forward. And these are people who don't like the idea of an armed citizenry, and they particularly don't like the idea of people being able to overthrow a government, because, in my opinion, the people who push this are people who see government as a form of God on earth.
Right.
They can sort of worship government, and government is the end-all and be-all and do-all for everything. So anything that limits the power of government, or might be used to limit the power of government, is considered bad by them. And those are the people who are making this type of argument. Now, it's a silly argument. It really is, for anybody who actually reads the document, studies the Revolutionary War, reads the Federalist Papers, considers how the Second Amendment was considered at the time of the ratification of the Bill of Rights, who looks at the process by way the Bill of Rights came into being, or considers the ideology that was endemic and accepted by all the founders to create the Constitution, which is the idea of natural law and natural rights. So if you have to be ignorant of all those things, or you can just lie, but I think it's mostly ignorance.
Yeah, you could just lie, I guess, yeah.
And we do have lots of people who just lie. I mean, the current president strikes me as someone who lies reflexively. He just lies all the time. I suspect he lies to himself. You know, he's lied about things so much for so long that he's lost the ability to differentiate between truth and falsehood. So whatever sounds best at a particular time is what he'll say.
Well, you know, I think to a certain degree, you know, the official story is that he got 81 million votes, which means he got more. And Trump got 75 million votes, which that vote total in and of itself in a fixed election was more votes than anybody's ever gotten before, right?
Right. Anybody. I think on a second term.
And in Obama's second term, he got 65 million votes. So he believes, I think, he honestly is running around right now going, you know, I got 81 million votes.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, now this is interesting. I'll probably write an article about the number 81 million strikes me as interesting because that's the highest anybody has ever claimed.
Yeah.
So, in a presidential election, 81 million, that's a huge number of votes.
Right.
And yet, we have, at the minimum, people are saying there's about 100 million gunners in the United States. That's 30% of adults would be close to 100 million. Well, maybe 80 million. But, and then we have this research. I'll call it research because they put in the caveats. They explain what they don't know, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how many people have guns out there, but are reluctant to admit that they have guns for whatever reason. I call them shy gun owners, and it's always been hard to figure out how many shy gun owners are out there, because if somebody won't tell you they have a gun, how do you figure how many of them there are?
Right.
So we figure, you know, somewhere about 80 to 100 million gun owners out there that admit it. But when you look at shy gun owners, they did this study and they said, well, we'll ask a whole bunch of questions and we'll figure out what gun owners tend to answer. And then we'll look at the people who say they don't have guns and see how those answers correlate to those people. And they found out that there could easily be twice as many gun owners as we thought. I mean, that was at the upper level, they figured we could easily have 60% of adults be gun owners, which would put the number, you know, like 150 million or so, or 160 million. And maybe even 200 of them, because it's a big potential there. But they didn't measure, because it's not something, if somebody won't tell you they have a gun, how do you prove they have a gun? And we don't have a national registration system, and it's against the law to have a national registration system, and almost nobody wants a national registration, at least that they will admit to. So when you consider that virtually every legal gun owner is a potential voter. I mean, there are a few resident aliens that can legally own guns, but it's not a very large number compared to the citizens that can own guns. And if you are a citizen that can own a gun legally, you can vote because you have to be 18 generally, and you have to not have a felony record. That's the way it's set up. So almost certainly more than half of voters in this country own guns. And it could be quite a bit more than half. that makes it much harder or much less reasonable for politicians to push a gun control agenda because they're going against the grain of a majority of voters in this country. So I just thought that was worth mentioning in there, that we just have this research recently, and it's not by some pro-gun organization.
No.
This was from an organization that's dedicated to reducing the number of guns in the country.
Makes you wonder how they allowed this to get out.
Yeah, it does. It makes me think, gee, maybe there are some researchers on the left that, you know, actually are...
Well, Gary Kleck.
Honest.
Gary Kleck is a very honest man.
He is. Kleck has done some outstanding research. And he stands by his efforts, and I think he does the best he can. It's a difficult field to do research in because of these numbers like shy gun owners. And, of course, that also calls into question all the so-called research about, well, we have this, you know, proxy to approximate how many people have guns in this state, how many people have guns in that state, and this one has a few more guns than the other, and we can say that they have more people who commit armed robbery on alternate Tuesdays, and so therefore that shows that more guns equals more crime.
Right.
And all of that goes into question when you don't have, when the number of people who own guns is in serious doubt. And one of the things that survey, and I'll probably write about it, I haven't written about it yet, one of the things that they found out was that a lot of the people that they thought were very likely to have guns, but not tell people they had guns, were minorities, women of color, things like that.
Hang on for me. Talking to Dean Weingarten. We'll be right back. This article, of course, is at amaland.com. This is Lock and Load.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
I need help with my taxes. Where can I find free tax help?
If you make $54,000 a year or less, you can participate in the IRS Volunteer Income Tax Assistance, VITA, or the Tax Counseling for the Elderly, TCE, programs. IRS-certified volunteers provide free basic tax prep for low to moderate income taxpayers. The TCE program is specifically for taxpayers age 60 and older. Go to IRS.gov and enter free tax prep in the search box to find a VITA or TCE site near you.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED.
It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life.
I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more.
When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
Last time on the firing line. This is Lock and Load. We're talking to Dean Weingarten. We're going to shift a little bit. Justice Alito got out there, and he's been convinced to give a stay to the ATF over the ghost gun rule. Tell me about this.
Yeah, this is mostly a pro forma thing, I believe. That, you know, it's just something that ordinarily would be done, and so they did it. And it doesn't amount to very much. I mean, we'll see what happens. But the Fifth Circuit has ruled, has issued an opinion in a district court, I think it was Justice O'Connor, that the ATF doesn't have the authority to change the definition of what was considered receiver or frame, or to say that a collection of parts and some tooling that can be used to change those parts so you can make a gun out of them means that collection of parts and the tooling equals a gun. And the district court said, no, you can't, you don't have the authority to do that. So it was appealed to the Fifth Circuit. And the three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit were asked to put a stay on the ruling where they vacated the law. And they said, no, we'll put a stay on some stuff, but where they talked about receivers and frames, you changing the definition, or we talked about collections of parts and tooling being a gun, we're not going to change, we're not going to put a stay on that other than an administrative stay for 10 days. And they were a little bit slightly vague about what exactly was being stayed. And the Department of Justice with A.G. Garland decided to ask for an emergency stay. They had asked for an emergency stay by the Fifth Circuit, but the Fifth Circuit said, no, we're not going to give you an emergency stay because, frankly, we are pretty sure you're going to lose this at the Supreme Court anyway. And so they asked for an emergency stay, and the judge who oversees the Fifth Circuit for this type of administrative action is Justice Alito.
Right.
And Alito has been pretty good on Second Amendment issues. I think he's one of the two best on the side. He and Justice Thomas. Thomas probably a little better, but they're both very good. And so the question was, would Alito grant this emergency stay? And it turned out very quickly he did grant a stay, but he didn't call it an emergency stay. He called it an administrative stay. And he put it, until the 4th of August, which turns out to be exactly one day more than the administrative stay that was put on by the Fifth Circuit. So it hardly grants any more time. to the Biden Department of Justice. And it makes sense because he's just one judge, and this is a very contentious issue. And he probably said, you know, I probably should allow the government of the United States, because they're claiming, you know, this is a big problem and something has to happen right away. I should at least allow them to present their arguments to the court in a conference is what I think will happen. That the nine justices will meet in conference and look at it. And these arguments have all been gone over and over again and again, so there's almost nothing new here. It's just that the Fifth Circuit said, what a lot of people are saying, is that you can't just change the definitions like this by yourself. And one of the reasons that they changed the definitions, in my opinion, is because they asked the Congress to change the law, and the Congress would not change the law. Well, if Congress isn't willing to change the law, that probably means you don't have the power to do it either. And now what the Biden administration says in this, in their application for the stay, is, oh my God, the sky is falling. All these ghost guns are being made, and they're going to go out in the community, and a lot of people are going to die if you don't give us this emergency stay right away. Well, it's just not true. I mean, most of the guns... I mean, we got over 400. I don't think there's anybody who really disputes we have over 400 million guns in the U.S.
Yeah.
Today. Probably getting very close to 500 million. According to my calculations, it's, you know, we're really getting close to the 500 million. And most of those are not traceable because after 5 or 6 years, the gun becomes pretty much untraceable. You know, it may be a little bit longer, but at least half, I would say probably at least 200 million, maybe 300 million guns are out there where you can't trace them because the only thing the tracing does is tell you who the first person was sold to at retail. And then if that person dies and the guns go to an estate, there's no tracking. Or if they are sold to somebody else, there's no tracking. You don't have to keep records. We don't have a national registration system. And this idea that you somehow aid in stopping violent crimes by tracing a gun to the first retail owner just doesn't hold up. What we see is tracing guns is a big waste of time. It does not aid in stopping crime. When we instituted the system back in 68, well, crime went up for about 3 decades. I mean, there's just no evidence that it actually helps any in solving violent crimes. Now, you might solve a crime of process, like, you know, it's illegal to sell a gun to somebody, or it's illegal for somebody to have a gun. The tracing really doesn't help a whole lot on that. And even places that have had full-blown registration, where you have this gun, you are only able to buy it with our permission. You can only have it with our permission. You can't sell it to anybody else unless we give you permission to sell it to somebody else. And then we know who that person is, and we register who that person is. Even systems like that, the registration of guns almost never is useful in solving a violent crime. It just isn't. Canada had full registration of handguns for like 50 years, no longer than that, sort of 1930s. And they were asked, well, where are the crimes that were solved with this registration of handguns? And they thought maybe they could come up with one over that 50-plus years, where maybe the registration might have made a difference in solving the crime. It's just not useful as a crime-fighting tool, as much as we have been told that it is, as much as they have tried to indoctrinate that into movies and television shows and stuff. Well, is this gun registered? I mean, it just, as a practical matter, it does not work. So, as much as they try to show this as some kind of an emergency requirement, the fact that a few thousand guns may be added to the national stock of a few hundred million that don't have serial numbers, well, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, there will be no significant effect, no measurable effect. And then, that's just funny because they make this claim that there were no ghost guns prior to 1968. And I'm going, he didn't even require serial numbers on most of the guns before 68. 68 is when you required serial numbers, and people have been able to make their own firearms without serial numbers from colonial days on. I mean, it's just silly. And we have lots and lots of reports of homemade guns being used in crime over time. I mean, I started collecting some of them back in the 1970s, and a lot of them are what you might call zip guns or improvised firearms, but they're still guns. They still kill people. It's just this idea that they have that the government control everything. If we just allow the government to control everything, everything will be wonderful and perfect and beautiful. And all we have to do is make sure the government controls who has the guns, and then the bad people won't get guns. That's ludicrous. It's silly. So I don't know what the Supreme Court is going to do. But they haven't given a lot of extra time to the government in this issue. And they did say that, well, you know, the people, we want to allow people to respond to this, which would be the plaintiffs in this case, which has been very good at presenting their argument.
Just ran out of time, Dean. Thank you very much for joining me today. I'm sorry. I was listening too hard.
Well, that's always a positive thing for me. It means I'm doing my job.
There you go. This has been Lock and Load.
Operate. At Staccato, we know there's no such thing as a fair fight, and we bring the unfair advantage that is the 2011 platform.
Dominate.
At Staccato, we know the most important gun you own is the one that you're carrying when you're facing that threat to life and freedom.
Win.
We want you to enter that objective confident that you are carrying the best gun in the gunfight. No compromise. No sacrifice. Staccato2011.com. Stand ready to face down the darkness with 2011.
When it comes to online gun shops, Primary Arms is one of America's largest retailers of new firearms, parts, accessories, and gear. They stock over 600 popular brands, all with everyday low prices and fast shipping. If you ever have any questions about a product, their team of product experts will help you make the right purchase. So, don't settle for less. Visit PrimaryArms.com today and see why so many gun owners make it their first destination for all of their firearm needs.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.